So President John F. Kennedy, at his inauguration, I remember it well, and I would remember it well especially with one line that he said in that inauguration. I mean, presidents promise the world, don't they, when they're inaugurated? Well, he said, in essence, I'm not going to promise you the world. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what can you do for your country. Those are great words. And I'm quite certain that probably hundreds of thousands of pastors have grabbed hold of those words as they've preached about the local church, right? Yeah, of course. Ask not what your church can do for you, and it will do a lot, but ask what you can do for your church. Ask, maybe we could say it this way, ask not what God intends for your church to do for you. Ask what does God intend for you to do within the context of your church. You know, these words were written to a people that were squabbling. We've talked about this before. They had all sorts of controversies, and they all probably knew a little bit too much as to everything that people should know about church, but weren't even themselves practicing. It's a dynamic thing that God has here going amongst us and every other church where Christ's name is honored in this community and around the world. And God has these plans. God is doing something with his people, and he has plans for every single person that claims to be a follower of Christ. But what if I'm young? What if I'm too young? Are you a follower of Christ? So what are God's plans for you to have an impact on the people in this church? What if I'm too old? You know what my energy level is right now, Pastor? It's pretty low. What if, does God have plans for me as part of this ministry? The answer is absolutely. Well, what if I'm too busy? I've got responsibilities. So many people are counting on me. They're calling me day and night for my help and expertise. What if I'm just overburdened with responsibilities for my children? Look at my responsibilities. Am I supposed to abandon them? Who said anything about abandoning them? Yes, for all of us who claim to be followers of Christ. Listen, he's given us gifts. And it's just a wonderful thing. You know, he's saying, here's the gift. And he's waiting and he's saying, are you going to unwrap that? Well, yeah, later. I feel awkward about unwrapping a gift in front of other people, you know. I mean, what do you say when it's something you've always wanted? Or what do you say if it's something you weren't thinking you wanted? Or you didn't realize it was something not only did you need, but everybody else around you needed that. Yeah, but I don't know how to even say thank you. It just kind of makes me feel a little bit creepy to have to thank people. I just rather they didn't give me anything so I wouldn't have to thank them. Here's the reality. I mean, you start reading God's word from the Old Testament all the way to the end of the New Testament, and you see that God has given us one gift after another. And then there are some gifts, and probably all these gifts, not only should we thank God for them, we should understand that the gifts he has given us are not for our own personal use. We're going to benefit by using them. But it's like, well, you know, I've got the gift of teaching. It's not just for your own use. I've got the gift of knowledge. Now that one, we could say that's just for me, right? Because I want to know. No, it's not just for you. No. What about if I've got the gift of wisdom? You know, I just need wisdom for all the complicated things in life. And God has given me the gift of wisdom. That one's okay for me just to use for myself, right? How about encouragement, the gift of encouragement? Oh, nobody else is encouraging me, but I guess I have this gift so I can just, I can look in the mirror and say, man, you're doing really well, buddy. No, our gifts are honestly, they're to be used for other people. People inside the body of Christ especially, but outside as well. Turn with me, please, to, we're going to read this same text that we read last week. And then I'm going to expand. I don't think we'll get to this verse to talk too much about it, if at all, today, but I'll expand into verse 8 as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Once again, reading from the New International Version. Again, know who he's talking to. He's talking to a young church that's already had lots of squabbles because it seems like everybody there thinks they're better. Either they know more than everybody else, or they're wiser than everybody else. So this is he's going to start stepping on toes when he says all of this stuff. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant, nor does God want you to be ignorant. After all, we're right in Scripture here. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols, and we all know mute idols don't talk. They're mute. And they are forever mute. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. It's like if you know that Jesus is Lord, bingo, man, do you have a gift. And when I read Psalm 111 today, said, in the company of God's people, when we're together, I need to say, praise God. And I don't just say the expression, praise God. I talk to you about what's happening. I've seen this happen. One of the men, we had a man yesterday who led our study at our men's gathering for a couple of hours on a Saturday morning from 9 to 11. We do this once a month. And this man, his name is Caesar. He's got a gift. Man, he can share God's truth. It's really cool. And along the way, he was telling us how God had changed his life. And that's amazing. God has changed his life. So it's not just, praise God! Did I do it? I said, praise God. I lifted my hands. I even sang, praise God. So I'm waiting for more. Tell me what he's been doing in your life. This is what's happened in my life. Wow, God's at work. And I was discouraged. And then I'm reading God's word and I realized, man, you're really a downer. You're just kind of complaining about everything. And God turns my attention to look at all he's done, like among your friends, like among your family. Do you really want to just cry in the beer here all the time? Or do you want to say, praise God for what he's doing? Well, I move on. Verse 4. So Paul is talking, I don't want you to be ignorant about these gifts. So let me talk a little bit about them. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. You know, this is great poetry, but it's not just great poetry. I mean, it's got this nice little rhythm. It's like he sings three lines in the same song. There are different kinds of gifts. And he uses the general term for gifts. It is charismata. It is that which conveys grace to people. Charis, grace. So when we see God conveying grace, we say, praise God, thank you. Whoa, this is really amazing. Thank you that you gave this to me to be used on other people. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit is the one who's dishing out those gifts, the same Holy Spirit of God that Jesus promised. And there are different kinds of service, different kinds of ministries. That'd be a really great substitute for even our understanding of this word service, ministries. But the same Lord. Now the word kurios, Lord. First he starts with the same Spirit, then the same Lord. Now there are different kinds of workings or effects that happen when God's at work. But it's the same God who works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the same Spirit. So I've said that at the beginning, verses 4 through 6, there are these, there's gifts, and then there's workings, and then there's effects. Now, this, if we were working out the permutations of all of this, especially from a heavenly version, God is saying, I've given you these gifts, and then I've given you this ministry, and this ministry, and this ministry, and this ministry, and this. I'm talking about ways to use those gifts. I've given you just countless different ministries. Every morning, I when I'm doing my Bible reading, and I was thinking, you know, I turn to the YouVersion Bible, and since I'm doing my Bible survey every year, it seems like over the last maybe 12 to 15 years, I'm doing it in the New Living Chronological Bible, and so I listen to it as well as read it. At the same time, I was talking to another friend and saying, "You ought to do this when you read this with your family." And the person said to me, "No, I've got attention deficit disorder. If I'm listening to somebody else read it, I'm probably going to kind of lose my concentration and focus." So I'm reading every word. Either way, as I turn this on every morning, there'll be the verse of the day. And then there's a face that I just have to press the arrow on my phone. And all of a sudden, this person comes to life. And I hear, as that person comes to life, they're from this ministry and that ministry. It's men. It's Albert Tate. Remember, Chris Franklin loves to hear Albert Tate speak. But there'll be a woman who's with, she's got a ministry called, it's just a different ministry. It's called Broken Crayons Still Color. And I think it's a women's ministry, but people with these various gifts ministering to the body of Christ, local and worldwide, they have all these different kinds of ministries. I said yesterday we had the men's breakfast, and that men's breakfast is a great time. It's a time to build up in, you know, sitting side by side with brothers in Christ. It's a place to invite friends who may or may not know Christ. It's a place to grow in our relationship with God. It's a ministry. And some of the people that take responsibility for that, they have various gifts. And they find a venue in that kind of ministry. When Andrew was here yesterday for the men's breakfast, he figured this out, printed up those things we're saying you can take out. So maybe Andrew, one of the ministries he has is, you know, learning at a distance how to figure out a copy machine. But then he didn't just print them out. He went out in the community and handed these out. It's a ministry. It's a way of activating some of his gifts and maybe even his primary spiritual gift that is for the common good. I don't know, but you'll never know what your ministry is. You'll never know what your primary gift is if you just sit and listen. You will never know. You got to get off your duff and get out there and try something. Try something. And if along the way somebody says to you, wow, maybe you have the ministry of copy machines. I don't know. You know, when you're around me, believe me, I think it's a gift, but I'm not the one dispensing them. But there's all sorts of ways you can serve. Maybe I can be the perpetual snack person. You know, I buy them, I bring them, and I lay them out. I don't know. There's just so many ways to serve. And the body of Christ needs a whole lot of people. I went with my son and his family who moved to Texas. We went to their church a few weeks ago. It was really cool to see the church that God has put them in. And they've been meeting in smaller venues. They're going to build a building very soon. That's in the process. But along the way, I mean, I tell you, this thriving younger church, even thriving at the end of having been hammered by COVID, I think before I walked through the door, I was greeted by almost six people. You know, I felt like royalty. I'm sorry, I didn't know. I didn't see the red carpet, but it was like I was truly welcomed because there were all sorts of people to welcome me, and I was not even in the door. You think there's a ministry waiting for some of you, some of us out there on the patio and out into the parking lot? Believe me, it's happening. I went to a church with a friend in Anaheim, bunch of bikers. Matter of fact, the person was an undercover cop that I went with. And the name of the church was Set Free. I don't even know if it still exists. But it was all sorts of Harleys out front. I mean, just, you know, and my friend said to me, I feel like when I go into this place, I should be putting handcuffs on everybody here. Honestly. But I don't know when I've ever felt so welcome in a church, because I walked from one person to the next, and they're going, welcome to Set Free, welcome to Set Free, welcome to Set Free. I think I'm welcome here. I think I fit, even though I don't look like any of them, and I came here on four wheels. So, but you know, there's different kinds of ministries. And there are different kinds of, the last of these three items is, there's different kinds of effects. Why is it that somebody with maybe some of the same gifts that I have, they get different results? Well, I know I'm a Baptist, so I figure it must be because I must be unfaithful in some way. I must not be walking with God because I'm not getting the same results as this other person who says to me, oh, this is easy. Anybody can do this. Obviously not me. But there are different kinds of effects. And those effects just kind of help us understand where God intends all the more to use our gifts. And once again, we get up out of our pew and we tried different things. And along the way, God shows us that he's the one who is amazing. And he does great and wonderful things in our midst. So, verse 7, if you could hear me going this direction. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I want you to, if you've got a, just circle or put, if you're using an electronic Bible, put your finger just on and highlight that word manifestation. It's just a very, you know, it's kind of a cool sounding word, but it's like this. God, the Holy Spirit, manifests himself through you. He manifests himself through me. He manifests himself as I try to encourage someone in my family, because he wants that encouragement to draw my family into to go further in their relationship with God. He demonstrates himself as the teacher, as the reminder. And I mean, Jesus said, I'm going to send the Spirit to you, and he will remind you of everything I said. So when I stand up in front of you, or when I talk to the guys at the men's breakfast, or when I talk to people I haven't necessarily even yet met, and I tell them what God showed me in his word, maybe that day, or maybe he's shown me, and he keeps unfolding this in my life by reminding me again and again. When I use my gift, I am manifesting the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit does that Jesus promised he would do. You get this? The Holy Spirit reminds us. And it changes our life. I remember when I sat in Pastor Grout's study. I was an intern in my own church, my own church, for one summer while I was in seminary. And Pastor Grout told me about a man that he knew, that he said, I never was with this guy when he didn't have something fresh from God's word for me. And it wasn't because he was bragging. It wasn't like one-upmanship. The Lord had been just showing this to him. The Holy Spirit speaks, and he brings to our attention a lot of things. But what Jesus said, he's going to remind you of what I said. How do you think we got the New Testament? You think this was just simply good history? The guys just sat down and they started comparing their notes. What did you write for that? Show me a few pictures of that, you know, on your cell phone. No, it would not. None of that stuff. The Holy Spirit was reminding them. How do we know Jesus really said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son"? Who was taking notes then? I don't know that anybody was taking notes. But I know that the Holy Spirit reminded John. And John was reminded of a lot of things that let us in on the very personal relationship he had with Jesus, even to the point that he would call himself the man whom Jesus loved. Not that I was his favorite. I just don't know how to talk to him about him, apart from saying, man, in all humility, he loved me. Don't know about the other guys, but I know he loved me. And his love endures forever because he's God. And that love can be for you. when John wrote down, set to write to his dear children, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, he said, I want you to know about this love. It was amazing. The Holy Spirit will manifest himself through you and through your gifts. You believe that? I hope so. I hope you believe that the Holy Spirit is going to make himself known through you and through the gift that he's given you. A gift that is for what? The common good. The gift is not just for you. We all need to get over our self-importance. This is just like, he gives this to you, share it. Again, you want to see how John, as an old man, so humbled by this, he said, the reason why we are writing these things to you is so that we'll have fellowship with you, okay? This is on the horizontal level. And our fellowship is with the Holy Spirit, or with God. It's just with God. It's vertical. And so the reason why I have my gifts and you have your gifts is to have that relationship with God and then to share it with each other. It's for the common good. And if we say, well, you know what? I'm just kind of a private person. I don't like to sound like I'm bragging. If every time we got together again, you said, oh man, I've got a zinger for you. This is what God taught me. No, I'm not bold like that. I'm not going to go there. We don't all have the same effects. We don't all have the same ministry. But I do know this. If you're a follower of Christ, you have gifts to be shared. And God will give you and me not just the gift, he'll give us the ministry. And it won't be just necessarily one ministry. You think of the people that teach children. Could it be that somebody that teaches children has the gift of, and I'm just right here, the gift of wisdom? They're right now, as we speak, Marilyn is teaching children right now. Probably last week, Dominique was teaching children, or she's alternating in this. You think they could use the gift of wisdom in dealing with children? Amen. Amen. Yeah. And do they need the gift of knowledge? Well, I mean, how much do you have to know about the Bible? You don't have to be a Bible scholar to teach children. Oh, come on. You got to be the gift of knowledge. And we'll talk about this a little bit more next week, and then we'll branch out into some of these other gifts. So think about this. I said that this was a church that was really wrapped up with itself. And they, some of them thought they were really wise. And when you really are wise, you could take the spiritual gift of wisdom and act like all these dummies that I just talked to. You know, they don't know anything. I wish they'd kind of kick it in gear. You serious? That doesn't sound like wisdom. That sounds like pure arrogance and like you don't really understand your gift. But some of these people thought they were so much smarter than everybody else. And Paul says, he said in chapter 12, verse 2, he said, listen, if you're talking, if you've got the gift of the Spirit, you didn't come up with this stuff just on your own. That wisdom is God's wisdom. And it is not harsh, it's not arrogant, it's God's wisdom. And you overflow with that to the people. And it's not just, why do you need it? Do you need a seminary degree to minister to children in children's church? Well, Maybe, maybe not. But the point is, you need knowledge to pass on to them. And you have to break it down. And one of the amazing things that happen, if you have the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge, they're two different gifts. Paul is saying, in essence, God by the Spirit is helping you to connect the dots between one scripture and another. Helping you to show people how this very same thing that the psalmist wrote is the same thing that Jesus sang, and you can hear it in his words in the New Testament. Why? I never knew that. Well, isn't it really good then that we have people in our church that know that and can help us connect the dots as well as we individually and together manifest the Spirit and why he is here in our midst. I hope you'll be thinking. Think contextually, Paul's day, a divided church, a proud church, and our day. We don't have to be a proud, divided church in order to embrace wonderfully the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he has placed in this place. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, I thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to open the book for my understanding and for the understanding of our dear people. Lord, this is such a wonderful, wonderful gift. And thanks, Lord, that you haven't left us to figure it out on our own and just be wonderful scholars. I thank you, Lord, that you've placed the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us understand and help us know how we can work this gift to your glory and for the good of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you, Lord, for all those who serve now and all those who have served in many, many different ways over the years. And regardless of our age or experience, I thank you, Lord, that you have a ministry for each of us. And may we glorify you as we use it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.